Let us pray. May we be mindful, O God, of the power that our scriptures hold in defining how we are to live. Amen. Well, that gospel story, I warned the choir about this, that gospel story from the book of Matthew that you just heard from Dorothy Dawson, quoting Jesus, telling of a wedding banquet that the king threw for his son, is rather a strange one, don't you think? Here we had the king sending out his servants to invite the guests, but no one would come. So again, he sends out his servants who are to say, look, everything is on the table. We have huge succulent roasts of oxen ready for carving. Come to the feast. Yeah, the people shrugged. Got gardening to do. Got to work around the shop. And some of the invited people beat up those servants, and then they killed them. So the outraged king had their city leveled to the ground. And as a last ditch effort to put on this party, the king said, go into the streets and bring anyone you can find. So they did, and every seat was filled. People were hungry. But when the king entered, he spotted a man who was improperly dressed. How can you come here looking like that? The man looked at him, and the king commanded his servants to tie him up and ship him to darkness or Sheol or hell or whatever that place is in the biblical Neverland. And then Jesus concluded the story by saying, you see, many get invited, but only a few actually get to celebrate. What on earth is he trying to say to us? I mean, when it comes to a wedding banquet for a king's son, well, I don't know, what did the king expect? If you're going to go out and recruit guests at the last minute, how can you expect that particular man to be wearing the right clothes? With all due respect, Your Majesty, either give them time to go home and change or lower your standards. Mind you, biblical scholars actually tell us that wedding hosts back then provided wedding garments for their guests. Kind of like, I don't know, maybe some fancy formal restaurants of today keep a blazer and tie on hand in case a fellow shows up without the proper garb. So why didn't that particular guest put on the wedding garments he would have been offered? Well, obviously, this is no ordinary story. It's an elaborate allegory in which everything has a deeper meaning. The opening line is, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. But then, as we listen, we realize the outrageousness of the plot. I mean, how many people do you know who would murder the letter carrier who brought them a wedding invitation? And in response to their rejection, the king burns the city to the ground. Certainly the roast oxen would be seriously overdone, it would seem to me. So there's really no way to handle this story without actually knowing the meaning behind it. And you see, the truth at the core of Jesus' story is most profound. He is deeply disappointed that so few of God's people were responding to God's invitation to celebrate. The people being invited acted as though you didn't need to show up. And Jesus was trying to make a point. And back then, rabbis made their points by greatly exaggerating the story so people would be drawn into it. So, okay, what's with the underdressed wedding guest who got bounced because he did not rise to the occasion? He demeaned the invitation by refusing to wear the attire that he'd been given. And of course, in our story, the wedding robe has a deeper meaning. It's not just the white linen tunic embroidered with golden thread, which is what the wedding guests wore back then. The meaning that the tunic represented is a whole way of life. A life that honors the king, who is, of course, God. No, that underdressed guest's mistake was not that he showed up in shorts and flip-flops. It's that he showed up short on righteousness. And he thought no one would notice, least of all the king. But if you think about it, in a way, in a broad way, this story repeats itself here every Sunday. This service might not be the heavenly wedding banquet, but, you know, we're here faithfully every week, so it's certainly the rehearsal dinner for celebrating God. Because, you see, every week, God invites everyone in Richmond and beyond to be here today. But as you might have noticed, some of them have better things to do. Maybe some are on the golf course, maybe some are at work, some cooking a Sunday dinner, some are still in bed. But we are here, and not necessarily because we're better than they are. But what we need to know is that God is not just looking for warm bodies to show up. God is looking for wedding guests. God wants guests who will rise to the occasion of honoring God's invitation. And we can still do that in shorts and flip-flops. It's because our wedding robes are not made out of silk. They're made from the whole fabric of our lives. And I think, it seems to me, that what Jesus is saying, that this is what they call putting on the robe of Christ. And I don't know why we would want to wear anything else. Do you? Let us pray. Hospitable God, may we forget the idea that we can be part of your kingdom without making any effort. May we glorify you and respect ourselves and one another as guests that you welcome to your kingdom in the name of our holy guest of honor, Jesus the Christ. Amen. And now